Shakespeare calls jealousy the green-eyed monster. He understood the same thing our Torah tells us, that jealousy can often be larger than life, can feel bigger than anything that exists in the regular world. You know, I need some music. And this week, in our parsha this week, we get a very peculiar case. Most of the Torah spends an enormous amount of time telling us of the specific rules of how you can find someone guilty of something. You need two witnesses. Those two witnesses need to have given warning. Those two witnesses need to be reliable witnesses. It's a very complex system. And yet this week, we get an aberration. We get a trial by ordeal, where it is not proof and witnesses, but by some action that wrongdoing is proven or not proven. We get the case of the sota, the suspected adulteress. When a husband believes his wife has cheated on him and has no proof, again, if he had proof, that would be a different situation. When the husband has no proof, what he is to do is take his wife to the priest. And the priest at the tabernacle, in front of everyone, uncovers her hair. They mix a potion of water. They scoop up some dirt from the ground. The priest reads a curse to which the suspected wife has to answer, Amen, Amen. They dip the curse in the mixture, stir it around, and she has to drink the dirty, inky water. And afterwards, if her stomach distends and her thigh falls off, then she is guilty. And if nothing happens, she is proven innocent and the couple can go home back to their lives. If you are surprised or even disgusted, good. I read this passage and it feels totally foreign from any kind of Judaism I know. It feels like pagan magic that we read about in other places. So in order to try and cut through the mystery, to try and dig deeper, I'm going to use a tool sometimes used in counseling. They call it the elevator. You start on the surface, on the ground floor, and you try and go as deep down into the basement as you can make it. On the surface, what we have is a solution for actually a common problem. Unfortunately, trust often breaks in a marriage. Suspicion can abound. In these intimate relations, sometimes the foundations of those relationships break down. And what we have here is a simple way of building them back up. If you suspect your wife, this is what you can do. Here's how you solve the problem. On the surface, that's what we have, but hopefully, that's unsatisfactory to you. So we take the elevator down one level, and underneath the surface, we have something a little different. We actually have a way out for the wife. Imagine yourself, put yourself in the shoes of this wife. Your husband comes to you and says, I think you cheated on me, and I have no proof. What is the next sentence? How do you stand up? He's saying he has no proof. There's no way to come back. So it comes at a terrible price, but in fact, we have a way out for the wife of this difficult situation. And if you look closely, this is what happens. The wife holds a grain offering. They call it the offering of jealousy. But any other grain offering is mixed with oil. This one is just the grain. And they don't use the altar. They use some dirt from in front of the altar. What happens is the wife becomes the altar. The sacrifice is not the grain. The sacrifice she gives up is her public humiliation. And when she offers it up, think about that dirty water. As bitter as it might be, no amount of dirt and ink is going to make your stomach distend or your thigh fall off. Every bride is going to be found innocent. So at the end, despite the terrible ordeal publicly, she is proven to be pure, proven to in fact be innocent, and maybe then the couple can work to rebuild their trust. Maybe they can go home. Hopefully, though, we still feel a little unsettled because it seems public humiliation is quite a high price, a very large sacrifice this poor woman has to make. When we get down to the basement, when we get underneath it all, we actually flip the entire ritual on its head. The sotah, the suspected adulteress who has to go through all these things, is not actually the focus, but the jealous husband is. What is going on that he suspects his wife so strongly? What made him jealous that he refused to believe that there was no proof? What made him, what put him in a place where public humiliation of his bride, of his loved one, of his partner, was an option? Jealousy is not really about wanting something someone else has. At its core, jealousy is feeling a lack in oneself, is feeling inadequate. What happened in this husband's life that he couldn't possibly believe that he was worthy of his wife? What happened to him that he couldn't understand that she wouldn't cheat on him? What happened to him that it was inconceivable that she was loyal? We have a story about Abaye. He's one of our greatest Talmudic sages. It's said that one day he was out in town and he sees a married woman and an unmarried man walk off into the woods. And he says to himself, surely he is going to try and seduce this woman. I will follow them and protect her honor. And for an entire day, he follows them through the forest as they talk. As they come out the other end of the path and leave the forest, nothing has happened. And in that moment, Abaye learns the lesson of the sotah. Abaye realizes the reason why he assumed that foul play was about to happen is because if he had been alone with that married woman, he would have tried to seduce her. Abaye himself realizes his own flaw. He himself would have tried to seduce this woman. The point of the sotah ritual is to hold a mirror up to the husband, this jealous man, and hopefully have him ask himself, what is broken? What are you missing? What is keeping you from being whole? So this Shabbat, I want to leave you with a gift, an invitation, and a blessing. First, I gift you this elevator. It is a simple image, but one maybe each of us can use to get to the bottom of our feelings. Second is an invitation. I invite you to take advantage of this elevator. When you are distrustful or jealous, angry, in a rage, or feel righteous indignation, ask yourself what's going on underneath. Maybe there's a part of you that is tender, that is broken, that feels unwhole. Maybe you need to reach out to a friend or loved one to figure out exactly what it is. But just maybe when you feel that passion, if we can dig down deep and hold up the mirror of the sota to ourselves, maybe we can find out just where that anger is coming from. Maybe if we can admit where we're broken, we can get out of these difficult situations without any humiliation to anyone. And finally, I leave you with the most eloquent of all our blessings. The blessing that we said this morning and at every bar mitzvah, the priestly blessing that is indeed found in this parasha, the final words, Vayasem lecha shalom. Please God, place upon us a perfect peace, a perfect shleimut, a perfect wholeness. Please God, grant us freedom from the emotional torrents that rob us of this complete peace, rob us of our best selves, rob us of our inner peace. The parasha ends with this magnificent blessing, which restores to us a complete and true and whole peace. Please God, bless us with shlemut. Bless us with wholeness. Shabbat shalom.